Jeremiah chapter 25. Talk to you about God raising up prophets. Amen. The last line of defense before judgment comes. You'll see that in the scriptures all over the place. We'll start here in Jeremiah, a few of the verses, then get right into it here. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, please. Verse number 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. Pay attention. Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. It's a frightful few words here. Till there was no remedy. You see that? You catch that? Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse number 4. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, I know that you've raised up prophets, and you're raising them up now to warn before that judgment comes, that great and fearful day of the Lord that's to come on this earth. And dear God, we know that judgment is coming. And we know, dear God, that you've raised up some men around this world, and you're raising up more men that have that spirit in them, Lord, that spirit to warn people, to flee from the wrath to come, that Holy Ghost unction from above. The Spirit of Christ, the Son of the living God, the Holy Ghost of God inside. Help us, Lord, to understand this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Lord is raising up men in the spirit of a prophet today to do what prophets do best, and that is to warn people. I believe now more than ever what is needed is that men will rise up in the streets and in the pulpits and preach with the intensity of a prophet to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. I'm going to tell you something right now. We have so many preachers today, and those men are so stale. You can't even tell some of them are even alive. They got no spirit of a prophet, and we are in desperate times. We are in absolute desperate times. And what do we see today? Back off. Shut up. Don't scream. Don't holler. It's too loud. It can't be loud enough. It can't be loud enough. Brother, you might have to turn this microphone. I'm going to lose my voice, I'm sure. Lord, keep my voice, please. But I believe now more than ever what is needed is that men will rise up to warn them that they must turn from their evil ways. And God, listen to me, God always sends a prophet to warn his people before judgment comes. And you know what? You better heed the warning. You better heed the warning. Now, for some people, this won't fit in their dispensational mindset. They'll lose their mind over this. But I'll have you know that if you study the Word of God, you will see from Genesis to Revelation that there were prophets. So whatever dispensation you want to call, whatever word you want to use, whatever time frame you want to use, God always raised up prophets. By the way, they were always hated too. Was it Leonard Ravenhill, I think, said this? He said, pastors make pulpits famous and prophets make prisons famous. Notice number one, a comparison. Number one, notice this, compassion. The reason God sends them. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse number 15. I want you to pay close attention to this. Because some of you, you don't love people. You don't love enough. You just don't love anybody. That's what your problem is. You just don't love anybody. I don't think you understand what that word means. Look what 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse number 15. Because I'm going to tell you something. You study the Bible, you see prophets, they have to love because there ain't no other reason to go. Because it sure ain't a popularity contest, and it sure don't make you famous, and people don't really love you. It might make you infamous, the fact they'll take your head. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse number 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. What's it say there? God sends that prophet because he has compassion on his people. It's compassionate to warn people to flee from the wrath to come. It's compassionate to preach the hard thing. It's compassionate and love to do that. And God sends them because he is compassionate. And because he is a loving God. Although some of you might want to be like a spoiled brat. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, if you have a child and you correct them, what do they say? Well, you don't love me. Some of them say that, don't they? Little kids, you teach them not to say that, by the way. Right? But isn't that what most little kids, you see little kids? Oh, you just don't love me. That's why you're doing that. You just don't love me. No, the Bible says you do love them. But you know what? We have a bunch of rebellious children today. And by the way, that don't mean they're little kids either. I'm talking about adults. Spiritually. God said he had compassion on people, that he sent his prophets to warn them. But men don't see it as compassion today, and they've never seen it as compassion. But you're not going to, by the way, can I help you with something? This will help you every day of your life. They've always hated it. They're always going to hate it. They've never loved it, and they're never going to love it. That's how it works. Okay? So if you expect people to love correction, they're not gonna. They're gonna whine like a bunch of babies. Just like 2 million Israelites did in the wilderness. God defines love and compassion, by the way. He said, I sent my prophets rising up betimes, but men never saw it as compassion. By the way, America is full of religious people. You understand that? You go out on the streets today, I'm gonna tell some of these people what. You know, it's so easy to sit back and watch all our videos on the internet and criticize everything when men go out and preach the word of God out there in the open air. It's real easy to sit back there and be an armchair quarterback and say you'd do it a different way. But it's a whole nother thing to get yourself out there and get in the trenches and do something for God.
Amen.
If you're not gonna, why don't you just be quiet?
That's right.
It's right. I'm going to tell you something right now. America's full of religious people, and God is raising up prophets. What did God always send? Every time you've seen a religious system, what did God send? He sent a prophet to warn them. And what are we stuck in today? Religious America, Christian America, so to speak. And what are they stuck in? What did God do? He sent a prophet to them. Man, he wasn't eloquent. Man, he wasn't pretty. But he sure was plain. He sure was plain in his speech. But what'd they do? Well, we'll talk about what they did here in a second. Why is God raising up these prophets all over America right now, all over the world? Why are we seeing it? Why are we seeing so much? We're preaching, where you're starting to see men like this church. We went from 1 year having nobody in the streets to 10 men in the streets.
Praise God.
Why? Amen. Because God is raising up prophets.
Right.
That's why. How many churches you know have a guy in a wheelchair going out there preaching?
Amen. That's right.
Think about it. That's right. The time is at hand. That's right. And you know what? You don't want to know why it's like that? Why God's raising up these prophets that are out of the box, out of the norm, and out of the fundamentalist system? You know why? And God is defying their system. You want to know why he is? Because America is gospel hardened. They are so hardened. They are so deceitful in their sin. They are such lying people. Right out there, man, I'm telling you what. You never seen a bunch of as many liars in your life as you stand out there on the street corner and you find people that will absolutely 100% lie about you. They'll just lie about you. I mean, with a grin on their face, like it's nothing. They'll just lie to you. Why? Because we got some gospel-hardened people in America, that's why. They've heard all the one... Man, they've heard all the 1, 2, 3 pray after me's. They had a coliseum or a stadium filled with Joel Osteen last night. They've heard all that stuff, okay? They've heard Billy Graham's ecumenical gospel of hell. They've heard it all, okay? They've listened to it all. They've heard it all. And it doesn't wake them out of their sleep. Why? Because there's no saving power in it. That's why. By the way, nobody ever considers it compassion that the Lord sends his prophets unless they repent. You and I are the same way. Man, I used to hate, I mean, I didn't hate him, but I hated him probably. I was really mad. I remember before I was saved, I remember Ted Alexander used to preach, and man, that man can preach hard, and he preaches some good sermons. You know, him and I don't always agree 100% on everything, but I'm going to tell you what, God still uses him, and that's the truth. I'm not gonna deny that at all. But I'm gonna tell you something right now. When that man preached, he used to make me mad. I have people email me now all the time, man. I listen to you preach, but you make me mad. You're making me mad. No, it ain't me making you mad. They're like, and I gotta get right. All in the same email, they're confessing, they're getting right with God. They're like, man, but I have to keep listening to it because I know it's the truth. You know what? I had to keep listening too because I knew it was the truth. That old gospel hammer came out and pounded my heart. Tenderized it. Gave me a new heart. You know, Elijah pronounced a famine and drought was coming from the Lord. He told Ahab that. For the sin of serving Baal, God was sending a drought. God said, you're going to suffer for this, for what you've done. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1. You see that spirit of that prophet rise up. Comes out of nowhere. We'll talk about that a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. See, Elijah had been gone a long time. A couple years, right? 2 or 3 years he was gone, took off, got out of there for a while. There's a drought there. They looked everywhere for him, man. They went to every kingdom looking for him. They went everywhere, and God hid him. I'll tell you something right now. You understand something. No matter what the government does, no matter what anybody does, God will hide his servants. God will protect his servants. Don't you ever deny that. That's right. And it came to pass, in verse number 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? How about that? How about that? What's the first accusation he said to him? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? What happened last night? You're preaching on the street. Bunch of wicked devils don't like it. You go preach harder and the cops come. What do they say to you? Art thou he that troubleth this wicked place? Right? You're the one troubling it, right? What did he say? Yeah, you're disturbing the peace. That's really what he was saying, wasn't he? Nothing's changed, folks. It's been the same ever. Anytime you have prophets rise up, you see people don't like it. You see people complain about it. There is no peace to the damned. He said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I like his answer. See, I like prophets. I like to study them. I like the way they answer. I like the way they stand up. You know why? Because everybody is so used to everything being nice, so sweet, and so polite, and we're watching the whole country go to hell while the sodomites are running around, and nobody's doing a thing about it. But preaching sweet little messages, waving flags, and having patriotic ceremonies in their church. Ridiculous. Let's hear his answer. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. What'd he do? That old prophet turned it right back on him, didn't he? He said, I'm not the one troubling, you are, and your wicked family. Because you forsook the Lord and you followed after false gods and you've served false gods. And I'm going to tell you, you can see it today. And I'm going to say you're seeing it not only in America as a nation, but you are also seeing it in churches today. You are seeing that they are not following the God of the Bible. They are following false gods.
That's right.
Just like last night. Preaching in the streets, the cops come. Preaching outside of obscene events, the religious crowd, and warning them, what happens? People get upset. People get mad. Why? Because to them you're a troublemaker. To God you are sent in compassion and love. That's what a prophet does. He warns. You see, it's compassion to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. And God sent them with some hard messages. I'm telling you, as we look at some of these, God sent them with hard messages. And they were men that had a harder forehead. They were men that had a harder head than those that they were sent to. Right? That's right. Set your face like flint. That's right. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. It's true, isn't it? Don't we see it today? Evilness abounds in the streets. What's good is called evil. What's evil is called good today. That wicked false prophet Joel Osteen, it's called good. Everybody loves it. Why? Because he prophesies with soft words. That's why. He's not a prophet of God. He's a false prophet. Because
right.
Everybody loves him and what he says. We see it in churches as well, right on the street and preaching. The truth is considered a cruel message to those that claim to be saved when you give them the truth. They don't like it. Oh, you should just, you know, there's some preachers out there and these internet warriors out there, they just think you should sit in front of a screen and just talk like this and just teach stuff all the time and just talk like this. Never raise your voice, never get excited about anything, never be passionate about anything. Just keep talking like this the whole time. Well, that's great. And I'm happy for you that you do that.
But God has raised up men to lift up their voice as a trumpet
and warn people. I don't know if you've ever heard of a trumpet. I don't know if you understand if you study a trumpet in the Bible. I mean, that's going to be one loud trump when it sounds, right? And I'm going to tell you something right now. We don't have enough voice to be loud enough. Brother Paul, Dad, Brother Jeremy, who has one of the loudest voices I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to tell you something right now. We can't be loud enough. You can't be loud enough. And you can't be straightforward enough. And you can't bring that message direct enough because people need it. Number two, the prophet preaches to turn everyone from his evil way. That's what he preaches. The prophet preaches repentance. And oh, how we need it more than ever. Do we need men to rise up today and to have that spirit of a prophet and warn men and call them to repentance? Because we have such a religious establishment in America today. Come on, folks, I want you to think about something. This nation exports more evil around the world than any place in the world. Okay? But America, to many people, is considered a Christian nation. But we export more evil. We pay for more abortions around the world than any other nation, I'm sure. We pay for more pharmaceutical drugs. We stick needles in kids all over the world, and we pay for it. We go into nations and we trample down their sovereign borders, and we go across them and we kill their children, and we mutilate their lifestyle. We destroy their life. And if that's what American exceptionalism is. So the prophets preach repentance. And by the way, the saved need to be reminded over and over again how they must repent and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The saved need to be reminded of that over and over again. The saved. Why? Because you know what? When a prophet doesn't come to preach, when he doesn't have that spirit of a prophet, you'll live in your sin and you'll love your sin. You'll like your sin. If nobody speaks about your sin, you'll continue to do it. Why? Because it's easy to do. That's why. It's easy. Want to know why people don't like it when that prophet preaches repentance and calls them to repentance? Because they love their sin. And again, there's no cloak for it. True children of God repent of their sin, by the way. And by the way, don't trust in a past repentance. There should be a daily repentance every single day of your life. Even Ahab knew what repentance was. If you were to ask him, he knew what it was. He could tell you what it was. Ahab could tell you. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. I'll show you. Verse number 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring this evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. See, Ahab repented once, didn't he? But what happened to Ahab? It wasn't continuous. It wasn't real because he wasn't a child of God. Yeah, that particular instance was real. He humbled himself, but it wasn't a lasting repentance. It wasn't a daily one. It wasn't part of his life. That's right. It wasn't repentance unto life. No. Because Ahab still served other gods. He still walked according to the sins of the son of Jeroboam that made Israel to sin, or Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that made Israel to sin. He walked according to those sins. God sees repentance, and Ahab knew what it was, but it wasn't a lasting one. A saved man will daily repent. If your salvation was real, your repentance will never end. Because the more preaching you hear, the more time you will repent every day of sins. Of what God is doing, of what God shows you and reveals unto you. And that is why preaching is so important. God sends a prophet to his people to warn them, to repent of their evil, to warn them to flee from sin, to flee youthful lusts. Why? Because without prophets that God raises up, you get complacent. You get complacent, and you get happy, and you get comfortable where you're at. Too many of God's people are worried more about a past one-time decision than a present work of the Holy Ghost in their life. You ought to be awful concerned if all you have is a profession and you have no living, breathing, moving Holy Ghost in your life that is working in you every day of your life. That ought to concern you. I know so many people that concentrate, well, I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was this age back then. That's great. But is he working in you now? Is he working in you now? And see, that's what happens when the prophets start preaching and stirring that up. They start stirring that up. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you. Do you see that? So a one-time decision, absolutely. You're saved just like that. But you know what? If it's real, God is working in you. It's not just a one-time situation, then nothing ever comes of it in your life. Nothing ever changes. You're not growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no work of the Holy Ghost in you. There's no power of God over sin in you. And we live in a day and age, too, where people don't like that type of preaching, right? People make videos about you when you preach on stuff like this. Go ahead and make another one. It ain't hurt me a bit. But... but I'm going to tell you what, when they do it, it's funny because it really shows how foolish they are. Because to absolutely think that somebody makes a mental decision, but there's no power of the Spirit working inside of them for the rest of their life, boy, you got ripped off, friend. Let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something, Sparky Jr., who made that video, you got ripped off. If your salvation is nothing but a decision and nothing comes of that and God is not working in you, somebody ripped you off, man. I don't know who it was, but you got taken. That's right. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You better have a daily repentance. And that's why we must be around strong preaching of men that have that spirit of the prophet in them, that spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in them, to warn men to repent. See, that's what a prophet does. And you look at American Christianity today. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for God to raise up men? Look at it. Look at it today. I don't know where some of these people you can tell don't get out much. And they don't go anywhere much. They don't talk to people much. Because when you start talking to people, you really see where things are at. And when you start preaching that Bible in the open air, you really see where sinners are. You really see where the religious crowd is. And you see who the real Pharisees are when you get out there. We're seeing men run around the country that are rising up from the ashes of evangelical ruin to say enough is enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm telling you what, I mean, I can't keep up with all the emails that I get now. I can't. Or the messages. I got to go back and take some time and just do it and just sit down and do it because I cannot keep up. Why? Because God is stirring people up. Amen. It's not me doing it. It's God stirring them up. Amen. It's the Spirit of God stirring them up. Why? Because... they've heard a prophet preach, that's why. That's what they have. They've heard it, and you know what? They can't forget about it. Isn't there a need for God to raise up more prophets to call out a remnant? Are we not seeing this happen around the world, around the country? Men, you know, these men that they're in churches and those churches are dead and they're not preaching Bible anymore and they're tired of it. So they're moving. They're moving. They're like, you know what? I'll move here. I'll move there. I got to go somewhere where somebody is preaching the Word of God. Right. Yep. And they're not lulled to sleep by this world. We're seeing that happen today. As churches are full of men that hate repentance. They hate prophets that warn about repenting. But the Bible says God sent his men rising early and be times and to call men to repentance. Number three, prophets would not be considered successful. By today's mega church standards, prophets would not be considered successful. They would not be considered part of that having your best life now. As you'll see throughout the scriptures, prophets would not be those mega church successes. But God said, in my compassion, I sent them. But God knew that the masses would not hearken unto them. Didn't he? Don't we see the same thing today? The masses will not hearken unto God as God is raising up men to warn them to flee from idolatry, to flee from the wrath to come, to flee youthful lust. They'll not hearken. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 7. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. He said, you wouldn't hearken unto me. I warned you. Jeremiah 44, verse number 4. Howbeit, I said unto you, all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. So what do we hear today? Well, how effective is your approach? How effective is, all these people walk up, well, how effective is your approach? Pretty effective, you're talking to me. How effective is it? You know, can you just imagine with me, Elijah, right? He's walking up to Ahab. You know, Ahab didn't ask him how effective his approach was, did he? No, what did Ahab say? Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. On the streets to the mostly religious Americans, we talk to apostate Christians. How effective is that Pastor Cooley is that hard preaching? It's effective. It pricks the heart or it cuts it, but it'll do the work that God Almighty has sent it to do. But you may never have big numbers. You may never have bodies, bucks, and buildings. Prophets never did. But they had Jesus, that's right. Bible says the Spirit of Christ was in them. Amen. Well, that'll mess up somebody's theology right there. I like doing that. Anyway. Yeah, amen. We need some prophets in pulpits today. We need some to thunder out the truth, no matter if anyone likes it or not. We need them to be fearless men, because prophets were fearless men. They feared God alone. And as you look around this country today, we are seeing a lack of that. We are seeing a lack of men in pulpits, pastors, that fear God alone and not their people. That's right. A shepherd being afraid of the sheep. That's right. Right. And he's got the staff. He's got the rod. John the Baptist thundered out the truth and lost his head, didn't he? Huh? I notice how a lot of people don't like John's ministry. You ever notice that? They don't like John at all. Very misunderstood man. That's right. They don't like John the Baptist. The Baptist.
Baptistic.
Was it John the Baptistic? Was it John the Immerser? Was John the Baptist? Yeah, why didn't he build a bridge to Herod? I mean, you need to change Herod's chariot tire or something. Chariot wheel, right? Sorry, chariot wheel. You should have changed Herod's chariot wheel or something. What's wrong with you? Right. Yeah, what's the matter with you? You should have helped her move in. What's wrong with you? No, he had the spirit of the prophet. What did you? He thundered out the truth to him.
Amen.
Because by the way, everybody else was too scared to. Nobody else was going to tell him how wicked he was. You know, pastors can get scared. I've seen it. It's really funny. Sometimes even those old prophets got a little scared, didn't they? But one of the only things I find funny is that we see that a prophet was scared of was Jezebel. I'll tell you what, pastors, they can get scared of their wives, too. I'm not, but they can be. Or a husband. He might have that spirit of the prophet. He can be scared of his wife. Mm-hmm. Scared of what her reaction is going to be. What she's going to say if he starts to lead or he does something that she doesn't like. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Sometimes you can be scared to confront your own family. You have loved ones out there. Some of them aren't saved. They think they are, though. They don't have any desire to live for God, though. They don't have any desire to do anything for the Lord. But you might be scared. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Man, that was funny right there. You can imagine that makeup monster Jezebel is just about losing her mind back there, okay? She had her war paint on, she was putting it on, and man, she was mad. I mean, she was angry. So what'd she do? I'll tell you what, a Jezebel knows how to get a message to you if she wants to. Look at that. See that? How'd she get a message to him, right? She'll find a way. I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of Jezebels like that. They'll find a way to get a message to you. They'll find a way to get to you if they can. And Ahab told Jezebel, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Okay. So he just killed like all the prophets. I mean, they whipped everybody. Called down fire from heaven, but the man was afraid of a woman. Now, I've seen a lot of women you should be afraid of. They're kind of scary, but I'm going to tell you. This man was afraid. And he was a prophet. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Wait a minute now. You just slew 450 prophets. God let you call, God called, you called fire down from heaven through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And you're afraid of that woman? He's afraid of that Jezebel. He was scared. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, today in this country right now, we have a lot of pastors that are afraid of women. We have a lot of pastors that won't implement things in their churches that they're supposed to because they're afraid of what the women will think. We got a lot of husbands that will not lead the way that they're to lead because they're afraid of what their wives are going to think. They're afraid of the wrath of a Jezebel if they do. Hey, listen, folks. It's real, and I've seen it. I've seen it time and again. You know what? They're the kind of women that when they leave, they start talking about how bad the sermon was, what they didn't like about the sermon, and they start yipping. Yip, 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 yip. And they don't like real men, by the way. They hate real men. They hate real men that stand up and that are bold. And they are one of the biggest forces that will fight a prophet of the Lord God, as we can see. Do you know what? Elijah wasn't afraid of Ahab. He was afraid of his witch wife, Jezebel. Think about that. By the way, if you're a God-fearing woman, this shouldn't bother you. If what I just said bothers you, you better check your spirit. Amen! You better check your spirit. Make sure you're right with God then. Because it shouldn't bother you at all unless you have a spirit of contention, you have a spirit of warring, or you have a little bit of that Jezebel spirit in you. Think about it. Well, I don't like the way you said that. Well, I don't much care if you do. Why? Because I'm a prophet and I don't care what you think.
Hey.
That's why. Now, if I'm in sin, call me on it. But if it's a matter of the way that I speak and what I say and what I preach, shut your mouth. You have no right to say a word. But I'm going to tell you something. What I have seen is you will see people rise up against that because there's a little bit of rebellion in them. And they don't like a man that speaks with authority. That's right. Maybe you're like that man that said, man, you're a hard man. That's the way prophets were. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to thank God one day that a man stood up and was straightforward with you. Without fear of any funny faces looking at him. His prophets never had a big ministry, but they continued to preach. And I'm going to tell you something. You know why it's so shocking to people? Because nobody does it anymore. We are living, I mean, there's 7,000, obviously, that are not bowed the knee to Baal. We understand that principle. But I'm going to tell you, it's few and far between. Because they are so scared to death of what people will think. So scared to death. Whether you're going to like the way I said something. We have a bunch of men now that are walking around afraid. In skinny jeans. They're afraid. Right? Yeah. Prophets are fearless. Prophets must be fearless. And we have to have men that are fearless. That stand up and they are fearless. That they are not afraid. They are not afraid of Jezebel. They are not afraid of her false doctrine. They are not afraid of outing Jezebel. And I don't mean just a woman. I'm talking about that false doctrine, okay? That false spirit that's there. That spirit that hates the prophet. That spirit that hates what he says. That spirit that just has to buck a little bit. Number four, I think. I don't know. Prophets are the last line of defense. Tell you what, right now, they're the last line before God brings judgment down. God said, I sent them betimes, seasonably, that means, in good season or time, before it is late. Before it is late, before it is too late, God sends the prophet to warn you. That's right. Seasonably. Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering. Doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, you're going to be real in your family, and you're going to be real in here, or you're not going to be real at all. That's just the way it works, okay? We are either going to order ourselves after the scripture, but I sure ain't going to play games pretending to. I'm not going to play games pretending to. I don't want to do that. I've been a part of all those movements that play those games and pretend that they're going to do everything right. What does that mean? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with long suffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I see. That means we should stop preaching it, right? Because they can't endure it anymore. That's how some men are actually, it seems like to me that's how some men interpret that. Because that's exactly what they're doing. Oh, okay, so I should stop preaching that because they can't endure it anymore. We should just tickle their ears now. No, it means we preach harder. It means the prophet rises and he preaches harder. Harder against sin. Harder against evil. Listen, folks, they had priests in Israel. They had scribes. But when God had a message or a word from the Lord before impending doom, he sent a prophet to them. That's what he did. They had all their religious establishment. They had their religious institutions. By the way, the next thing I want you to notice is the prophet always went where the sin was. Every time somebody thought they were getting away with sin, right? There was a little voice, wasn't there, that would come up, or a thundering voice that would come up over the hill. Who was that? Well, take Samuel, for instance. When Saul said, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. What did Samuel say to Saul? What mean the bleating of these sheep in mine ears? Huh? What mean the bleating of these sheep in my ears? And fear came upon Saul, and it should come upon you, and you should be afraid to mock God. You should be afraid. This prophet always went where sin is. Or sin was. Over time, they sinned against God, and he sent a prophet there to warn them and to expose them that God knew what they had done. To expose them to the truth. And when Ahab and Jezebel killed Naboth, how about that? And stole his inheritance. Oh, he was the king. Surely he could do what he wants. Hey, did you know that Jezebel used the law to kill that man? Did you know that? I mean, she used God's law. She perverted it. See, Jezebels are crafty with that. They're very crafty. See, they can take the word of God and use it deceitfully. And what did she do with it? She took the law that says if you blaspheme God or the king, you're put to death. And by the way, when you do that, when you blaspheme God, you lose your inheritance. So Jezebel devised a scheme. Jezebel devised a scheme and a doctrine that she made up. That's what Jezebels do. So then Ahab stole the vineyard. And God was angry and sent his prophet as a last line of defense before his judgment was coming. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 20. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Hast thou found me? What is the response that most people have when they're in their sin and you preach against their sin and God raises a man to do that? What do they say? You're my enemy. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? I like his answer. And he answered, I have found thee. He didn't say, well, I mean, if you'll listen to me, I'll tell you. I don't want to offend you or make you upset. Let's build a bridge. Can I build a bridge? Can I shine your shoes, Ahab? No. Can I buy Jezebel some more makeup? Maybe it'll make the message a little bit easier to take. Maybe you'll like it a little bit more. No, that's not what he said. What did he say? He answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. Oh, don't read that, preacher. Yeah. And him that is shut up and left in Israel. Do you realize how straightforward he was with this? I mean, you realize? He's talking to the king, right? See what he says to him? And him that is shut up. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahiah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. What did that prophet do? Where the sin was, that's where God sent the prophet. Where are you to go? Where the sin is, that's where you're to go preach. Amen. By the way, that's the pulpit and the street. And you're to call it down without fear or favor. Without fear or favor. David had sinned against God, didn't he, and abused his authority and set himself up as a god in a way. I mean, he stole another man's wife. Went right to that man's heritage, took his wife out and stole her from this man that was a soldier of his. And he thought he had gotten away with it. But what happened? Some prophet came up and took his bony finger and pointed it and said, thou art the man. You're the man, David. David, how about John the Baptist? Looks at the king and says, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Let me ask you, where are those prophets today that without fear or favor will point the finger and say, thou art the man? Where are they today that will do that? Why do we see so many people want to back off of that, don't want to be so harsh, don't want to be so coarse? Oh, don't be so abrasive. That's what I heard. I heard... Brother Nate, I heard there was, don't be so abrasive. Be smooth. Don't be so abrasive. That's not going to help anything if you're abrasive. Yeah, tell that to the prophets when they went. Tell that to those men that God had raised up. Tell them that. No, you know what we need? What's that? You learn psychology. That's what a guy told Nate yesterday. You got to learn psychology. Got to understand psychology. Get into people's heads a little bit. Get into people's heads a little bit. That's the head of security at the Target Center told us that. I thought he'd be the expert, the best expert for me to talk to about evangelism. The head of security at Target Center. That's the guy I want to take my advice from right there. He goes to church, so hey, that's right. Where are those prophets at today that will preach that way? Because I'm going to tell you this next point, and we're done. Don't ignore them and don't persecute them. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. When they're the last line of defense, I'll show you something here. We are coming to this time now. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse number 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. Look at it. And misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Look at the last verse, last part of the verse. Till there was no remedy. Those prophets are the last it. When you ignore them, there's no remedy. They mocked and ridiculed them. They were the last hope for them because they had the words of God to redeem them, that they are the ministers, because they're the ministers of reconciliation. But they despised his words. What does that mean? They made little of his words. They didn't matter. God's word, they didn't care. Jesus said it, didn't he? Again, what happened to the prophets in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Luke 11:47. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. You build the sepulchres, but your fathers killed them. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. What are you seeing right now? You're seeing the same thing. Jesus said to him, which one didn't you kill or persecute? Which prophet didn't you kill or persecute, Jerusalem? Why do you think God destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD? Because they killed the Lord Jesus. They killed his prophets too, and they hated them. They always killed the prophets that had a word from God or a message from the Lord. They persecuted them. We just read that, but they mocked the messengers of God. So what do we see here in religious America today? We see men mocking God. We see people doing lewd acts while we're preaching that aren't worthy of mentioning. Right? Because they mock the messengers of God. We see people doing videos about preachers that preach a changed life gospel because they're mocking the messengers of God. They mock the truth. What is that? It's despising the words of the Lord. It's making little, making them no worth. Look how Christians mock churches and mock preachers today. Just go out to the streets. You'll see how they mock it so, how they mock them. They mock the word of God. They cry love, but all they do is hate and hate. They hate the messengers of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to warn America right now. I'm going to give you a warning here from the Word of God. And I'm going to warn some politicians, and I'm going to warn some presidents and some governors and some other leaders in this nation. Yeah, you better believe it. I'm giving you a warning, and here's your warning. When you cut the prophets off, put a fork in it. It's done.
That's right. Eat it.
You better take heed, friend. This country is going to go down because you're going to slaughter the prophets. You're going to do it right in the open streets, and it's coming.
Amen.
And when you do it, this nation is done. It is finished because they are the final warning.
Amen.
And they don't heed the warning.
Good.
You better take heed what you do to the servants of the Lord, to his prophets of the Most High God. And this nation is headed for judgment. These churches are headed for judgment right now. Why? Because they mock the messengers of God and they despise him. And you know what? That's the last thing. We are coming on right now where this homosexual sodomite movement is coming in, and it is doing nothing. The only agenda that it has is to steal, to kill, to rape your children, and to steal them from you, and to shut off any speech, any free speech, any preaching against their perversion, because they want open perversions in the streets. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God is going to bring judgment down soon on this nation. And one thing Congress and all of them better understand is this. As soon as you legislate the right of free speech away, and the right of the prophets to speak in those streets, Ichabod!
Amen.
It's over. Your country's going down. It's going to be invaded. It's going to be destroyed because there's nothing left to keep it going. There's nothing left. There's no reason to. Don't believe it? Look in the scriptures. Follow the pattern. When they persecuted the prophets, what did he say? Until there was no remedy. Why? There's nobody left to speak. How can you hear a message when you kill all the prophets? We're coming to a time. In my lifetime, I believe we're going to see that. I really do. I pray it's wrong, brother. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't look very good. Take heed, America, how you persecute the prophets of the Lord. There's no remedy. When a country moves against its prophets, those that cry aloud and spare not, when you ignore the prophets that are warning time and time again to obey the scriptures, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24, please. We're almost done. Verse number 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Look at this. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Well, then they took the message right, and they repented, and they got right with God? No. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Wait a minute. Who is Joash? Well, Joash was the one that Jehoiada the priest saved his life. Kept him alive in the temple. Kept him alive under guards. Under armed guards as a 7-year-old boy. Kept him alive as a baby even, all the way up till he was 7 years old, so he could take the throne of God, or take the throne of Israel. So then he must have returned the kindness to Jehoiada's own son, right? When Jehoiada's own son brought a word from the Lord, no, he stoned him and killed him. That's what he did to him. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. Listen to what he said when he died. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And I'm going to tell you the same message today as that message right here. What you take heed, what you do to the prophets of the Lord God. Because listen, the Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the hosts of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people. Who were those princes? The ones that stoned him. Right? And sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. Listen, just a small company of men. But America has such a big army. I mean, we have the biggest army in the world. Yeah, but if you have God, you don't have the Lord, you have nothing. Amen. God chooses the small things, the simple things. Remember, God's the one that said, Nah, you got too many troops. Send them back, Gideon. We don't need that many people. I don't need that many people to rot a victory. Send them back. I don't want anybody thinking you did it or you were such a great army. I want to know that I did it. So what did he do here? Same thing. And the Lord delivered a very great host. Because look at what it says here. It says, Assyrians came with a small company of men. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him. Why? For the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Why? Because Jehoiada the priest was buried in the sepulchre of the kings. Did you know that? You see, when you misuse the prophets of God, when you stone them, when you and many of them were, by the way, Israel had judgment. It is stated that I believe Isaiah or one of the other prophets was sawn asunder. They were sent through and they were sawed to death. Do you understand? They were sawed to death. Why? Because they made the king mad. So what you're seeing in this nation right now, what you're going to see in this nation right now coming, if there's no repentance, and they don't take heed to that final warning as God raises up men to be prophets. By the way, prophets are pretty much raised up to be slaughtered. You know that, don't you? Right? They're pretty much raised up to be slaughtered. They don't have a very good record of living their life out in peace. I pray that's not the case, but the Lord's will be done. Because we are headed for dark times. But God is raising up prophets. He's raising up men. Father, Lord, we thank you. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to trust you fully. Lord, these are definitely scary times we live in. Help us to keep our eyes upon you and upon the book, and upon Jesus Christ. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us your power. Give us a holy boldness before your enemies, Lord. Help us to bring the truth out. Help us to call many men to repentance, to see you save lost sinners in these end times. Dear God, protect our families. Protect this church, Lord. Use us, Lord, as long as you will. Help us to be faithful to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.